Welcome to Music and the Message from St. Peter Lutheran Church in Gilberts, Illinois. We pray this blend of musical praise and the spoken word will enlighten your day and bring you closer to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
The following readings and sermon are from the 10:30 service on Sunday, March 8th, 2020.
Reading is Genesis chapter 12. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go forth your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make you your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. And Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people that they had acquired in Haran. And they set out to go to the land of Canaan. Where they came to the land of Canaan, Abram passed through the land to the place of Shechem, to the oak of Moreh. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built there an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there he moved to the hill country on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord, and Abram journeyed on, still going towards the Negev. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our second reading is Romans chapter 4. What then shall we say was gained by Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Now to the one who works, his wages are not counted as a gift, but as his due. And to the one who does not work, but trusts him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness. just as David also speaks of the blessings of the one to whom God counts righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord will not count his sins. The promise of Abraham and his offsprings that he would be heir of the world did not come through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if it is the adherents of the law who are to be the heirs, faith is null and the promise is void. For the law brings wrath. But where there is no law, there is no transgression. That is why it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his offsprings, not only to the adherent of the law, but also to the one who shares the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you the father of many nations, in the presence of God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the third chapter. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered him, Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, You must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus said to him, How can these things be? Jesus answered him, Are you the teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Jesus, you're my friend.
Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and from our Comforter, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Have you ever gotten frustrated with someone who doesn't understand what you're saying to them? When that's happened, have you ever wondered whether you may be at fault? You know, you may be an expert in a particular topic, but are you able to communicate that to your audience? You know, when I read the sermon reports that are prepared by my confirmation students, there are times that I am truly amazed by their understanding, by their grasp of law and gospel. And I feel gratified until those times come along whether I am left to wonder whether or not they were paying attention at all. Maybe it could simply be that my message was beyond their comprehension. And on those occasions when my message eludes their understanding, whose fault is it? Is it theirs or is it mine? That's our question for today. Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Say what? The wind blows where it wishes, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. Huh? What is Jesus talking about? That's what Nicodemus wants to know. And Jesus asked Nicodemus, "You are the teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things?" No. Nicodemus does not get it at all. So who's to blame here? Jesus or Nicodemus? Jesus is a teacher. But then again, so is Nicodemus. In fact, Nicodemus is a religious teacher who has been highly trained in the Old Testament scriptures. Shouldn't he get it? Is it Jesus' fault that he doesn't? Well, Nicodemus' ignorance cannot be blamed on Jesus. If I recall correctly, there were young children who came to Jesus and they got it. Well, even tax collectors and prostitutes and fishermen understood what Jesus was saying to them. They got it. But not Nicodemus, not one of the smartest guys in all of Israel. And it wasn't because Nicodemus lacked in academic gifts or cognitive abilities. Nicodemus could understand what Jesus was saying. Nicodemus would not understand. You see, Nicodemus was Nicodemus's problem. His preconceived notions about things like self-righteousness, works righteousness, and what the Messiah was supposed to look like and sound like and accomplish got in Nicodemus's way. Pride held Nicodemus back. It kept him from hearing what Jesus so wanted to say to him, the truth. And Jesus says, "Those who have ears to hear, let them hear." If you read the Bible, how many times does Jesus say that? And Nicodemus and the Pharisees, they all had ears. They just refused to hear. You know, we can all think of people, someone like Nicodemus, can't we? People who don't get it because they don't want to get it. What about you? Now, I'm not talking about you being a trained theologian, okay? I would admit to you, as I continue in my own study of God's Word, I come to realize how little I really know. I'm not talking about your understanding of how the Trinity works or how the real presence of Christ in and under bread and wine works. I'm talking about simple things, the simple things to which God calls us all, things we can all understand, things like forgiving others just as you have been forgiven, things like loving others just as you have been loved. Is that really too hard for any of us to understand? How often we hear the truth, something a young child can understand, and yet we close our ears and our hearts. And I believe everyone here knows what I mean. You know, absolutely everyone loves to hear the pastor preach on sin, until, of course, it is your sin that's being preached on. And we have to admit that we all suffer from that sick type of delight which enjoys hearing that our neighbor is guilty of some sin. But when we are confronted with that sin which condemns us, what happens? Time to start making justifications for what Jesus tells us is wrong. Someone says, "You just don't understand, Lord. I have a very valid reason for doing what I'm doing." Well, sure you do. Or how about this one? One of my favorites. "That's your opinion. That's what you say," God says. "But my God is a God of love. He wouldn't condemn me for doing this or that or the other thing." Now, that may be what you say, but is that what God says? Time to take the fingers out of your ears. Time to pick this up and open it and look at it a little more closely. Or perhaps you're too busy for all of that. You've got time to worry, time to plan, and time to do everything you need to do or perhaps want to do. You've got time to work two jobs. You got time to take vacations. You got time to take your kids across the state line for a competition on the weekend. But when it comes to Sabbathing, well, you're completely out of time. You're not resting, you're not refreshing, you're not receiving what God Himself has prepared for you. No, I'm not going to poll you or personally test you, but I will let that weigh on your hearts and I will pray that it does. And if I may ask, how many of you will forget what has been said and done here today as soon as you walk out those doors? If you remember only one thing today, I pray that it is this. Repent. Turn away from your preoccupied worship of yourself and humbly turn back to the waiting arms of your Lord and Savior. Turn back, repent, and relax, even if only for this hour. My friends, believe it or not, God has things covered for this brief hour. Why don't you let God be God? Why don't you let go and let yourself be God's beloved child? And take a rest and receive His gifts of grace and salvation. Don't be like Nicodemus. Nicodemus could not let go. He just kept hanging on to his pride. He kept hanging on to his great knowledge and intelligence. That pride and intelligence would not allow him to hear the simple truth that God sent His only Son to make atonement for the sin of the whole world, even for those people who weren't nearly as good or perfect or smart as Nicodemus and his fellow Pharisees. Poor Nicodemus wanted some credit for what he knew. Nicodemus wanted to have his say. But unfortunately, Nicodemus's say was drowning out what Jesus was trying to say to him. Don't let that happen to you. Don't let selfish pride and concerns drown out what Jesus is saying to you. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. And hear this. It's truly easy to understand how our loving God and saving faith works. You are born again, and not by what you have done, but by what God has done for you. You, my friends, have not chosen Him. You have not decided to follow Jesus. God has chosen you to be His child, born of water and of the Spirit. You don't make that happen. As when you were born into this world, you were a blessed result, but you were not the cause. You did not choose your parents. You did not choose the time of your conception. You didn't choose when or where you would be born. All of this would happen to you. And so it is with God's gift of saving faith. God takes you born in sin. He takes a rotting corpse of sin and turns it into His own precious and living child of promise. God brings you into His kingdom through the means that He has set aside to accomplish His will, namely the water and the word of baptism. He is the one who is still descending from heaven to create and enliven the gift of living faith in the person who is baptized. He is the one who gave up everything in order to take your place and fulfill each and everything you cannot, thereby opening the way of heaven to all people. And indeed, the kingdom of heaven is open to all. You cannot choose your birth from above. But you can surely reject it. You can reject and fight against God all you want. But whose fault is that? God so loved the world, the entire world, so that he gave his only begotten son to die for it. Now, does that mean all people will enter in and see the kingdom of God? Jesus gives us the answer today, and tragically, that's no. But is that God's fault? No, it's not. God gave his son for all, for the rich and the poor, for the young and the old, the black and the white, every tribe, nation, and culture. It does not matter. God has also given us everything we need to see and recognize his kingdom here at work among us, namely saving faith in the word and the sacraments of holy baptism and holy communion. There is but one thing that excludes a person from the kingdom of heaven, and that is unbelief, plain and simple. And my friends, God is here, right now, holding out these gifts to all of mankind, everywhere. But if you turn your back on him or close your ears to his gifts, in giving and receiving of those gifts, whose fault is it when you fall prey to temptation and despair? Here's what we're going to do. As we continue in this Lenten journey that leads us to Calvary, I want you to do this. I want you to set your focus on the cross and remember what Jesus Christ did for you there. I want you to remember that everything you need to get into the kingdom of heaven has been taken care of right there. I want you to give thanks to God for the gift of faith that enables you to know without a doubt the gift of new birth and new life you enjoy are yours because of what took place right there. That's called faith alone and God's grace alone because of Jesus Christ alone. And my dear brothers and sisters in Christ, it doesn't get any simpler or better than that. Go in his peace. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you've enjoyed this edition of Music and the Message, brought to you from St. Peter Lutheran Church, located in Gilberts, Illinois. Worship services are held on Sundays at 8 a.m. and 10:30 a.m., and on Saturday evenings at 5 p.m. For more information, please visit our website at www.stpeterlutheran.org. Thanks for listening, and God's blessings on your week.